Oh, God, how beautiful, how wonderful. What a privilege it is to know what the name of our God is. I consider it such a distinct honor to deal with eternalities, permanent, a doctrine, a name that is everlasting. Men deal with transitory, seasonal, temporary, even gravity, the law of which is supposed to be everlasting, will one day be suspended. But we are dealing with eternalities. The name of Jesus is longer than the sun. Hallelujah! I'm glad I know the name of my God tonight. Hallelujah! Thank God, what a privilege it is to deal with concrete absolutes. Oh, hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Chapter 11, verse 32, book Hebrews. Okay. That's New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Please get you a Bible if you don't have one. You've been good about this. We appreciate that. But I take it that some of you don't have a Bible. Who would volunteer to buy someone here tonight a Bible if they absolutely don't have one and just can't afford one? Would you buy them a Bible? Raise your hand. Now you see these hands. You don't have a Bible and you can't afford one. They'll buy you one. Praise the Lord. I said, you don't have one, can't afford one. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all ain't going to get me in the corner. Hallelujah. Seriously. We've got extra Bibles if you'd like one. Amen. Chapter 11 of Hebrews. And we want to read a few verses quickly, beginning with verse 32. And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How many appreciate your heritage tonight? How many appreciate the illustrious past of Pentecostalism? How many appreciate the blood of the martyrs, the unfailing efforts of Apostle Paul, the unflagging efforts of Apostle Peter, the martyrdom of Stephen? How many appreciate what they've done to bring us what we have tonight? My text is contained in Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Everyone say witness. Let us lay aside every weight And the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We're going to preach to you tonight for a little while. Witnesses from eternity. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Say it once more.
Jesus' name.
Put the emphasis on Jesus. In Jesus' name. That'll do it. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have not, of course, met the founding fathers of this apostolic movement, but I appreciate what they've done.
Sure, that's right.
I thank God for my spiritual legacy.
All right.
I appreciate them. And I believe that one of the greatest things you can bequeath to your children is not money.
That's right.
Not education. But a life that's been devoted to Christ.
Right.
Footsteps that are forever etched in the sands of time that years will not erase.
Amen.
I don't know what Paul looked like. Someone said he was a 135-pound hunchback Jew that went blind in his last years. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. It does say he was aged, Paul. You can read in that he had grown old in a natural sense and weary. No doubt he had an affliction in the flesh. But I do know this. I appreciate the sacrifice, the devotion that he gave to the cause of Christ. And whenever I'm tempted to slack up, slow up, back up, sit down, give up, I think of the witness of Paul, alone on Mars Hill, called a babbler in Athens, ridiculed in Corinth, made fun of in Ephesus, stoned and left for dead at Lystra, and the list goes on. Beaten with many stripes at Philippi. Untiringly, he gave himself to the cause of Christ. What a witness. What a preacher. What an apostle. We are indebted to his consecration tonight. And the list goes on. Not just Paul, but Peter, James and John, Matthew and Mark and Andrew and Luke. I take courage of how John the Baptist rebuked kingly iniquity. Not afraid of political influence. Not afraid of losing his neck. Stood up for what was morally right. Oh, God, give me the grit, the grace, the backbone of a saw log to be just as determined to be like they were. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me repeat my text. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. Now, you know a man that runs track. You wouldn't think of going out here and running the 880-yard run in a coat of mail or a coat of armor. No, you have to lay aside every unnecessary weight. You wouldn't think of swimming the English Channel, my friend, with the chains wrapped around your waist to weight you down. You've got to lay aside every weight. So it is in living for God. There's unnecessary things we can do without if we're going to go deeper and higher, last longer, and accomplish more. We've got to lay aside every weight, the superficiality, the excess baggage, that which is of no value to our lives. We must divest ourselves of if we're going to be an accomplisher for the name of Jesus Christ. We need not be spectators, but participators. Come out of the stands. Get in the race. I believe God can do just as much for us as he did for the apostles and prophets and the early church. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. What may not bother you may bother you, may bother me. That may not bother me may bother you. There may be something the devil can slip up with you. Your blind side, a weak spot. Well, whatever it is, the sin which does so easily beset us. Amen. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Right. But that doesn't mean you must tempt God. I can run across the street 100 times saying God will take care of me. And the 101st time I might get smashed flatter than a pancake. Yes, you've got to understand there's things you cannot do if you're going to be a Christian.
Right.
And put yourself in a position that you might sin. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. We are not immune against sin. We are not inoculated eternally against sin. We do not possess unconditional eternal security. We do not have an irreversible nature as yet. We are not possessors of God's divine nature in eternity, in incorruptibleness and immortality. I can backslide. You can backslide. You can fall from grace. You can operate on two cylinders instead of eight. Your battery could be low tonight. You might need recharging. My God, your enthusiasm just might need rekindling. There just might be the chance. There's a sin crouching at your door about to sap your victory. Lay it aside. Get rid of it. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I've heard it said so many times, it's the last mile that counts. I know when I used to run track in high school, of course I wasn't in the church, but I ran track in high school, I always was afraid of those last 30 or 40 yards that someone was going to catch me. And I remember almost losing a race one time looking back over my shoulder. I almost stumbled and lost a race. And I suppose there's a point in that. And someone says it's the last mile of the way that counts. And that's the one that matters. But don't ever forget this. You can't run that last mile till you've run all the other miles. You can't enter through the gates of pearl with sweeping with hallelujah and hosannas to God until you've went through the valleys and you've crossed the deserts of despair and the black nights of trouble and trial. So you see, between here and the time of departure, here and the point of death, or here in the rapture, are miles to go. Hallelujah. Miles to go. Miles to go. Amen. Amen. Like Robert Frost said in his poem, the woods are lovely, dark, and deep, but I've got miles to go and promises to keep before I sleep. And let's not become enthralled, infatuated, enthused, engulfed, steeped, seduced, bewildered by the world and its enticements and allurements, that we lose sight of what God saved us for. God saved us for. Praise the Lord! Run! Everybody say run. It didn't say walk. The metaphor is run. It didn't say crawl. The metaphor is run. There's action in it. Run, 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 run. Run with patience the race that is set before you. Hallelujah! You may not get baptized in Jesus' name tonight, but I'm not going to quit preaching baptism in Jesus' name. It's still true. You may not receive the Holy Ghost, but we're still going to preach the Holy Ghost. You may not believe in one God, incarnate Jesus Christ, but we're still going to preach it. Hallelujah. It's the same. Luke 21:19 said, in your patience possess ye your souls. You got to have patience. This thing's going to pay off. Big, 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 big one of these days. James 1:2 said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience, and patience experience. And so, you see, according to Romans 5:3, patience worketh experience. And so, we have to understand when we're put back on the potter's wheel, and the fire of white hot trouble in our lives works on us, God may be purging us, and He may be making and molding, and knocking off the excess baggage and the bumps and things that are not what they ought to be. Praise the Lord, that we might run with patience. God wants to make something out of me. He wants to make something out of you. He wants to be something in my life. He wants to be something in your life. And all of these witnesses are standing there in eternity, in the presence of God, and in my mind, and written down in the Bible for me to have a reference point. Elijah was a man subject to like passions. David and his slingshot. Joshua and his trumpet in the wall of Jericho. Moses and his rod. Amen. Standing at the Red Sea. Oh, the list goes on and on. God can still work today. These witnesses, they speak to us. They speak to us. They speak to us. Miriam and her tambourine, Ruth and her undying devotion, oh, Deborah and her faith in God. Oh, the list goes on. Sarah and on and on. And Dorcas and Lydia. And oh, my God, let us not become tired. Let us not become weary. Let us not backslide. Let us not give up. Let us not say it's no use. Let us not say I won't make the mountaintop. Let us not say I give up. Let us not say I quit. Let us not say I'm through. But let's say, God, you help them and you help us. They overcame, we can overcome. They slew Goliath, we can slay our Goliath. They brought the walls of Jericho down, we've got some walls that can be brought down. They walked through the Red Sea, we can walk through our Red Sea.
Hallelujah.
Run with patience the race that is set before us.
Right.
Looking unto Jesus. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
You know, that's the trouble. Some people, they look on other people. If you want an example, I admonish you not to look on anybody but Jesus.
Alright.
You'll get discouraged, disgusted, disillusioned. You'll be bewildered, confused. And you'll see faults after a while and failures. And you'll find fault and pretty soon you'll backslide.
Uh-huh.
Don't get your mind and eyes on men.
Right.
Looking unto Jesus.
Right.
He never fails. He never quits. He's never lost an ounce of strength. He's still on the throne.
Still on the throne.
Sets on the throne. Heaven's His throne. Earth's His footstool. Fills heaven and earth. That's Isaiah 6:1 and Jeremiah 22:23. But oh God, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I get a blessing out of that. Because what God starts, He's big enough to finish. And He started this church, and He's going to finish this church. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Oh, the battleground today is not so much in a physical nature. The devil's got cunning and sly. No longer does he take the dagger and the knife and the stones and the Colosseum and the beasts and the catacombs to rip Christians to shreds and cut their heads off and slice them up in little pieces. But the battlefield is raging today. It's in your mind. The pressures, the mental pressures that he brings to bear. Amen. And we become weary, not fleshly sometimes and not in a carnal sense, but in our minds. We become boondoggled. We become confused. And the Bible said you become wearied and faint in your mind. And before you ever give up in your heart, you give up in your mind. And before you've got negative in your heart, you've got negative in your mind. And before you ever said, I quit, and threw the baton down, you give up in your mind. And you was defeated in your mind. Oh my God, stay strong in your mind. Believe in God. He's never failed yet. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind.
Right.
Hallelujah! Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Oh God, I didn't have to shed a drop of blood to get to come to church tonight. I didn't have to shed a drop of blood to get the Holy Ghost and be baptized in Jesus' name. We're so petted and pampered. Oh my God. Some of the early pioneers of Pentecost might ought to tell us some stories, but they do tell them from eternity. Their lives have told them. Their ministries have told them. Their unselfish devotion to the cause has told the story. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Some of us don't know what it means. Don't what it means. We may be ridiculed a little bit. Like one fellow was going to try to call us a holy roller, and he called us a roly holer, and we jump up and down and say, that's something. It's just something to laugh about. There's no persecution in that. And someone laughs at you because you shouted a little bit funny, and we think that's persecution. That's, oh my God. That ain't even first base in persecution. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Oh God. I didn't have to fight the devil off literally to come to church. But oh God, I appreciate you and I want to live for you anyhow. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth.
Hallelujah.
If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Amen. If you have never had a Holy Ghost whipping, now look at me now. We're not climbing the top of the clouds, but look at me now. This is good anyhow. If you've never had a Holy Ghost whipping, you've never been out behind, amen, the barn with the hickory tea, amen, and the spiritual board applied to the spiritual, amen, seat of learning. Brother, if God's never looked you right in the eye and told you how mean and bad and low down and backslid you've become and how dishonorable you've become, and you don't know what it is. If you've never been chastened, you're not one of His. Those humps on our backs are not angels' wings. Amen. And I don't see any halos around none of our heads tonight. And none of us can walk across the tops of the clouds. We're earthbound creatures. We're mortal. We're susceptible to sin. We're corruptible. Amen. Amen. And our frailties can come to the top. Amen. And our inabilities can cause us to lose out. Oh God, put a whipping on me if I'm not right. Oh God, put a whipping on me if I'm not right. Put a whipping on me if I'm not right. Amen! 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 Let me tell you, the Lord knows how to whip you where it hurts. Amen! 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 The Lord knows how to hit you where it hurts, so to speak. Brother, He puts one on you. You've had one put on you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah! But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all, everybody say all, are partakers. What Paul was saying here is, I got mine. I've got mine. Hallelujah. Amen. I wouldn't give you a nickel for a preacher who couldn't mess up your shoe shine every now and then. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a man of God that's afraid to look you right in the face and tell you you're wrong. The Bible condemns your spirit, and the Bible condemns your attitude, and the Bible condemns the way you're living and the way you're going to die. Everybody is a partaker of it. God puts a whipping on all of us when we get out of line. And I say, Jesus, if I'm wrong, put the whipping on me. Jesus, if I'm not what ought to be, put a whipping on me. Hallelujah! But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Right. It means you're illegitimate. You don't belong to Him. Right. Let me tell you, don't stiffen your shoulders and square your jaw and say, nobody's going to put a whipping on me. I believe the man of God, when he preaches the Word of God, has got a right to preach it without fear or favor. Hallelujah, everybody.
Go. Hallelujah.
Paul even himself told some churches at one time, shall I come to you the spirit of meekness or with a rod? He said, just depends on you, ever how you want it. You act right, I'll be this as humble and nice as the best of them. But you bristle up and you get too smart-alecky and you don't do what you ought to do, I'll come with the rod. The rod of the Word of God. Amen. And I've had mine many a time. I thank God for it.
Sure. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
If they'd have been here tonight, they'd have got it. But they're here and they're getting it. Hallelujah. Let's raise our heads and praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. All right, let me go on. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection under the Father's spirits and live? Oh, you know the stories. Amen. I believe in discipline.
Sure.
I believe that a dad and a mom's got a right to discipline their children. And this Dr. Spock doctrine of don't discipline your children with spankings or with any sort of a rod of correction, literally, and let them just be told or learn their mistakes is not right. Naturally or spiritually. Right. If you love your children, you're going to whip them.
Right.
It's when you don't whip them and you don't chastise them and you don't correct them is you don't love them. We have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We gave them reverence. I don't want to talk about myself, but I can remember my dad. He used to wear a belt about that wide. Brother, he'd whip that belt off. And brother, I hate to see it coming. Amen. Brother, it didn't feel too good. Amen. My mother's whipped me a lot of times, too. Amen. She chased me around the kitchen table one time, going to try to whip me and couldn't catch me. See, I got bigger by then, and she couldn't catch me. And then I thought, well, I'll get her to laughing, and she'll forget all about the whipping. So I started saying real funny things while she's trying to catch me, and I got her to laughing. But when she caught me, she whipped me and kept laughing. That's the truth. Amen. That's right. Well, I gave him reverence. Brother, if you've ever had the south end going north warmed up, brother, you'll sit up and perk up your ears a little bit then. Brother, when you have been told how the cow eat the cabbage, when you've been told how the cookie crumbles, when you've been told what you're going to do and what you're not going to do, when you've been told this is it, brother, the finality is here, you'll start straightening up. That's the way old dad did me, and that's the way we were done as children. And I think God sometimes has to talk to us the same way. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live?
Right.
For they verily for a few days chasteth us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Everybody say holiness.
Holiness.
Most of God's whippings has to do with holiness, inward or outward. We just are stubborn as any proverbial Missouri mule about being holy. We want to court the world and go as close to the world and dance as close as the moth could to the fire without getting sins to burnt. But there is a line, there is a place you cannot cross, my brother. And let me tell you, if the Word of God condemns something, it condemns it. I don't care what your name is. I don't care what your pedigree is, what your education is. I don't care what you believe. What the Word of God condemns stands condemned. And we best not transgress the Word of God. Hallelujah! For they verily for a few days chaseth us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now listen to the next verse. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Some of you remember when you got your hide warmed up such you couldn't sit down for a while. Literally. And some of you know there was other ways you got disciplined by privileges being taken away, this, that, and the other. And it hurt. And you thought you was going to sweet talk or soft sell or soft soap or just do your own will anyhow. Amen. Some people are so stubborn, they try to be just like that.
Right.
It's like the father told his teenage son. And sometimes these teenagers think they're growed up before they're actually growed up.
Right.
Amen. I don't care if it's my children. I don't care if it's your children. As long as they live in your house and eat your grub, put their feet under your table and sleep in your beds, they're going to do what the Bible says they're going to do as children to their parents. Clippity-clop, clippity-clop, clop-clop, clippity-clippity-clippity-clop-clop-clop. But it's the truth. The old workhorse is going to do some plowing, but it's a God in heaven's truth. Well, the father told his son, he said, sit down, son. The son said, I'm not going to sit down. Dad said, sit down, son. He said, I'm not going to sit down. Dad, I don't want to sit down. You can't make me sit down because I don't want to sit down. Dad said, if you don't sit down, I'm going to knock you down. That's what I'm going to do. So, son, sit down. But you know the rest of the story. He looked up and said, Dad, in my spirit, I'm still standing. And that's the way we do God a lot of times. Oh, I'll go along with the holiness. I'll go along with the standards. I'll go along with the prerequisites. I'll go along with the requirements. I'll go along with the entrance exam. I'll seemingly be what I'm supposed to be. But in my heart, there's a flirtation with the world. In my heart, there's an infatuation with ungodliness. In my heart! In my heart! Oh, God, help us to be from the inside out!
That's right.
Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down. You come to church looking like a spiritual sloppy Joe. Your hands are hanging down. Your chin touches your shoelaces. And you got the mully grubs. And you're down in the dark valley of discouragement. And your hands are flopping by your side. Oh, pastor. Oh, evangelist. Oh, saints. I'm so down in the valley. Would you please have mercy on me? And you find somebody's shoulder to cry on. And you try to whine in their ear and whimper about your problems. Have you ever noticed that when you try to tell somebody your problems, they end up telling you their problems, and you don't get a chance to tell them your problems, and you got to listen to their problems. So the best thing for you to do is to tell God your problems. Amen. 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 Lift up the hands which hang down. Lift up the hands which hang down. If God's put a beating on you, raise your hands and thank Him for it. If God's put a whipping on you, raise your hands and thank Him for it. If God's corrected you, if God's chastised you, if God's scourged you, if God has straightened you up, raise your hands and thank Him for it. Hallelujah. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And make straight paths for your feet. Not crooked paths. Straight paths for your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now then, a spiritual lameness, a spiritual illness, a spiritual cripple. You're either going to have to get it healed, or you're going to fall to the wayside. You'll be turned out of the way. God would rather it be healed. If you got a sour spirit, He wants to heal it. Come on now. If you got a malicious tongue, He wants to heal it. If you got a gossiping mouth, He wants to heal it. Whoopee! All right. If you got an unbelieving heart, He wants to heal it. If you got a carnal mind, He wants to heal it. Hallelujah! 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 Let it rather be healed. There's not a hard-hearted, hard-headed, stubborn, rebellious, amen, insidious, crafty, amen, man or woman here tonight that's doing wrong. But what God doesn't want to heal you. He wants to straighten you out. He wants to clean you up. He wants to make you what you ought to be. Let Him heal you tonight. Amen. Come on now. Quit being a church tramp. Quit being a, amen, one that God can't use. Quit being a rabble-rousing spiritual insurrectionist. Quit being a troublemaker. Let God help you control your tongue. Let God help you control your rebellious spirit. Woo, 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 woo. Hallelujah. You cannot have your offering back. Hallelujah, that's it. Hallelujah. And you probably think about it. I don't get paid by the hour. It does look like it sometimes, but I don't. Everybody said amen. Amen. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way.
Hallelujah.
But let it rather be healed.
Right.
Follow peace with half the men.
Oh,
what? Follow peace with the whites. Follow peace with the blacks, with the yellows, with the reds. Follow peace with the rich. Forget the poor. Follow peace with the ignorant. And forget the educated. Get along with the Democrats and tell the Republicans to go to... Or get along with the Republicans and tell the Democrats they ain't got what it takes. Follow peace with all men.
All men.
All men. The book said, if it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. God doesn't want us to be fighting and backbiting, tearing one another's eyeballs out spiritually. God doesn't want us to be at one another's throat all the time. He wants peace in the church, peace in the gospel, peace in the song, peace in the altar. He wants peace. People quote this 14th verse, and they love the last part. Amen. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And I believe in holiness. It's not my place as an evangelist to set any standard. This is not my church. I believe I got a right to preach the word, but I can't set a standard. It's not my place. God will hold your pastor responsible for that. But let me tell you, the first part of this verse is just as important as the last part. Some people are so holy, they stink to high heaven. They want you to know they're holy. They dress right, and from looking on the outward appearance, they've got it. But inside, their heart is a nesting place of evil spirits and of foul and evil imaginations. And they'll talk about anybody, tear somebody's reputation down, assassinate their character, amen, impugn their integrity, drag their name through the muddy waters, amen, of unbelief, and tell all kinds of untruths. My God, let's follow peace with all men. With all men. I may not like the cut of your clothes, the style of your hair, and the way you look, but God tells me I gotta live peaceably with you. I may not like the way you sing, or the way you preach, or the way you walk, or the way you cut your grass, but God said I gotta live peaceably with you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Follow peace with all men and holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Oh, God.
Amen.
I don't want anybody to go to hell, do you?
No.
I don't want anybody to be lost. No. And when we see a brother stumble and a brother fail or fall, we shouldn't greedily laugh and mock and mimic and satire. No. We shouldn't say, ha, 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 one down and more to go. Or somebody might get his place. But oh, when we see a brother failing of the grace of God, we ought to go to the Lord for him. God, help them to see their need. Help them to see their need. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. A root of bitterness is like a bad apple. In a basket, it'll spread. It's contagious. And the terror of the bitterness. And one who bears the bitterness is the one that suffers the most. Oh, you carry poison around in your heart, in your life. You're the one that's going to hurt. If someone's done you wrong, just put it on the altar. Let God take care of it. Don't carry around a bunch of bitterness, because it'll spring up and it'll trouble you. Don't tell me it won't. It's like weeds and thistles and thorns in your beautiful lawn, and it'll trouble you, and it'll nag your mind, and it'll be constantly on your thoughts, and that's all you can think about every day is, I'm going to get even, and this isn't right, or that isn't right, or this isn't no good. My God, let's just put it on the altar. Let's don't get bitter. Hallelujah. Every one of us has been done wrong, and every one of us has hurt other people's feelings, and intentionally or unintentionally. Every one of us has had our share of gouging our elbows in someone else's ribs, and every one of us has been a stumbling stone, stumbling block of some nature. And oh God, I'm not perfect tonight. I'm just a dying man preaching to dying people. Let's don't let bitterness get in our heart. Bitterness in our heart. Let's be sweet and gentle and nice and nice in the spirit. Amen. Is this all right? Let's a root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. A church takes on a personality. A church takes on an attitude. Oh God, saints of God, we need to work together. I don't care if the blackest of black hearts, a backslidden sinner comes through that door that's done this church dastardly and mean. If they stumble in their blindness down to this altar asking for mercy, my God, and say, I want to get right with God. We ought not to take the elder brother complex, but we ought to say, brother, if you want to straighten up, we'll pray and ask God to help you. Hallelujah! Let's not be bitter!
Hallelujah.
Looking diligently.
Hallelujah.
Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Oh, God.
Praise God.
Oh, God. You are the custodian of your soul, you and God. Preacher can preach till he turns blue. Till his mind's almost out on the floor. You can do all you can, but if you, in your heart, don't make your mind up, it won't do one whit of good. One whit of good. Esau sought for mercy, sought for restitution, sought for restoration, but he had sold out, and it was too late. I don't know where the line's at. I am not the judge of your heart. But if you're not where you ought to be, heed the warning signs. If God's trying to correct you, and God's trying to chastise you, and God's trying to scourge you, and God's trying to bring you back in, and God's trying to straighten you up, heed the warning signs. Heed the warning signs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For ye are not coming to the mouth that might be touched and that burned with fire,
right,
nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them anymore. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. They entreated, for they could not endure that which was commanded.
Right.
And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with the dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceeding fear and quake.
Yeah.
Talking about Mount Sinai, when God gave Moses the law, you couldn't come close to Mount Sinai.
Right.
If a beast accidentally wandered up there and touched it, it was stoned or thrust through with the dart.
Right.
And God's majesty was so awesome. And God's potent power was so demonstrated. God's illustrious glory was so manifested that even the great man Moses, meekest man on the face of the earth, said, I exceeding fear and quake. And so God held the people at arm's length, and God held the people standoffish, and God kept the people out of so-called spiritual range, only allowing Moses, the mouthpiece, to come close. Oh, we haven't come to that. You can make rules. You can make regulations. Christians. You cannot legislate righteousness. There's not a way in the world it can be done to make people live right. You cannot force them to do what God wants them to do. It has to spring from a heart. Sir, we got to have a standard. Sir, we're responsible for the leaders and constituents of the church we use in Sunday school and those in officialdom. Sir, we got to have requirements. But you can't make people do right if they don't want to do right. It can't be done. Oh, you hear this preacher tonight. We're not come unto Mount, or rather come unto the Mount that Moses went to with all the thunderings and the lightnings and the beast that would be stoned and the people that were scared to death. But when Jesus died on the cross, his flesh was offered up in the veil of the temple that separated the holy from the holies of holies. Of its own will, it split down the middle. And the way was opened up where everybody, every common man, all the hoi polloi, every clodhopper, no matter who we are, from where we hail from, the backside of the desert, the backside of the mountain, no education, illiterate, dumb as a mule. My God, he said you can come right on in. Come right on in. I don't present to you legislation. I don't present to you tablets of stone. I don't present to you stony faces and stony hearts. The Bible puts it better and more succinctly than I. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. What an awesome display of spiritual firepower on Mount Sinai's lofty crag. What a blazing naked fury of God's glory. But I wouldn't trade places with Moses. I'd rather be on Mount Zion. I'd rather be on the top of Mount Zion. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm glad I'm where I am tonight. Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Are you glad Jesus is in here tonight? Are you glad for the spirits of just men made perfect? I'm talking about witnesses tonight. I've got an illustrious heritage. My spiritual history goes back to great men of God. I can look upon them and lean upon their expertise and their experience and garner from them a whole lot of strength. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not only serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but I'm serving the God of Paul, Peter, James, and John, and the God of Matthew, Mark, and Andrew, and Luke, and the God of Philip and Bartholomew. Bartholomew and Timothy and Titus, and the God of Apollos and Silas. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel's.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See that you refuse not him that speaketh.
That's right.
See that you refuse not him that speaketh. You can turn your minds off before you turn your attention off. You can tune me out before you get a chance to tune me in. Oh, these preachers know what I'm talking about. You may have people's bodily presence in your congregation, but their minds can be thousands of miles away. The blank expression on their face, the disillusionment and bewilderment in their eyes. You can just read it. You can just read it. Their minds are every place else but God. Oh God, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. That's referring to Mount Sinai. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised. That's just like saying, I'm going to tell you something. But now he hath promised. I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Brother, you mark it down. This world's in for a shaking. This world's in for a sifting. You hear me? A shifting of power. You hear this preacher. The last time the rumblings of it was on Mount Sinai's crags. But the same God that shook the earth then said, I'm going to shake it again. All the political powers of the day are not permanent. Witness the demise of Egypt and of Rome and of Greece. Witness the demise of Turkey. Witness the demise of Spain and England. Witness the demise Christ of the great powers of yesteryear. They're beggars today, sitting by garbage heaps of history. America, if she don't watch, is going to go to the garbage pile. Oh, God's going to shake this world. He's going to shake the earth. He's going to shake the heaven. He's going to shake it. And He's going to shake you. He's going to shake you. He's going to shake me. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now He hath promised, saying, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. Oh, God. Signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. Every empire, every society, every monarchy, every kingship, every democracy, every government of man on the face of the earth, not built on righteousness and holiness, not built on the name of Jesus and fear of God, is coming up for a shaken, friend. I don't care how beautiful and pillared their supreme courts and marbled walls are, their libraries of Congress, how wonderful their residences of presidents, how expert they are in their education, God's going to put a shaken on them. Woo! My God, He's going to shake everything. If be churches, He's going to shake churches. Be sure you're in a church that preaches the apostolic gospel, the gospel that cannot be changed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken, that those things which cannot be shaken, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Hallelujah. I've got a name that can't be stampeded. I've got a name that cannot be shaken. I've got a name that you cannot back up on. Hallelujah. I've got a name tonight. Hallelujah. That can't be shaken. Can't be shaken. Can't be shaken. Hallelujah. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Oh, hallelujah. The sun can go out like a candle in the wind. The stars can fall like cinders from the sky. The moon can crawl into its sepulcher. Every angel can die. But my gospel, this kingdom, cannot be moved. Cannot be moved. Cannot be moved. Cannot be moved. Hallelujah. 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 Which cannot be moved. Oh, that's salve to my wounded spirit. That's balm to my disconsolate heart. That's healing to my wounded mind. For after all, when the dust of the footsteps of the apostles has settled into the time, I know the legacy, the gospel, the plan, the program they shed blood for and sacrificed for is not man-made. It's not theory. It's not intellectualism. It didn't come from some ivy-covered tower of man's learning, hatched not out of some theological incubator, but in the program and mind of God it was brought. And He that is eternal, omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient has said it's going to be. And He give us a kingdom that we are born into by water and by spirit. Baptism in Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues. And God has said it cannot be moved. Though the earth be removed and the mountains be cast into the sea. Men may come and go. Kingdoms rise and fall. Kings live and die. But the Holy Ghost, the name of Jesus, goes on and on and on and on. Burn this church house down. The kingdom still can't be removed. Throw these pews in the Arkansas River. The kingdom still can't be removed. Tear up every Bible. The kingdom still can't be removed. Woo! Hallelujah!
Is it sticking tonight? You've got a hold of something that is permanent, eternal, unchangeable, unalterable. Hallelujah. It's something that will always be. You're not hooked up with a fad. You're not walking arm in arm with a passing fancy. No, no, no. This is not a rolling stone that collects no moss. I'm not running with a wandering star tonight. This is permanent, 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 permanent. Hallelujah, everybody. Let us have grace. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence. Some of you need some reverence for the house of God. Chewing your gum in church. God help you. Now, I don't say it's a sin. I don't say it's a sin, but it's disrespect to the house of God. Running in and out during the preaching and the choir up here trying to bless you. Our Sunday school teachers prepared trying to help you. And nonchalantly, lazily, as if you couldn't care if dead lice is on you or not, you stroll off to the restroom. Now, if it's a have-to case, if you are physically ailed to where you got to, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about just as a habit. My God, help us to serve Him with reverence. With reverence. Remember, the Bible teaches in Ecclesiastes, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, and be not rash with thy mouth to utter anything. Amen. For God is in heaven and thou on earth. You see, I've not got it made yet. I still got a body of flesh and corruption and mortality. I still got to sleep and eat and exercise, and I've got to do all the mundane earthly things to exist. I've not got eternality with incorruptibleness and immortality. I haven't got it. He's still in heaven. I'm still on earth, and I want to make it. So I've got to serve Him with reverence. With reverence. I love you, Jesus, but I want to fear you. I want to do your will. I want to dress like you want me to dress. I want to act like you want me to act. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Serve God with reverence and godly fear.
Amen.
For our God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Let's raise our hands and praise the Lord. Here I go again. Common sense tells me to shut up. It's all over. But he's giving me a day off tomorrow. So I've got 21 more verses I'm going to throw at you. And then I'm going to turn it over to you and the Holy Ghost. Because I feel impressed about it. I feel really do. I really do. Let me go on just a little further. Is that okay? Amen. Amen. Okay. I just wanted to check. You're not going to stone me like they did Stephen. You won't gnash on me with your teeth, false or real. Okay. You won't turn your hearing aid off now, will you? Amen. Will you hang in there? Okay. I see some of you, I guess, has already swallowed your gum. God bless you for that. Amen. We'll pray you won't get indigestion. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. All right. Let brotherly love continue. Brotherly love is not a one-way street. It's reciprocity. That is, it's action that goes two ways. He that wants friends must first show himself friendly. And you've got to let brotherly love continue. You can't just throw a dam up or an obstacle and say, I'm going to stop it. Listen, if there ever was a time when brothers of the gospel need to appreciate and love one another that preach the truth, I believe it's now. Let's don't let race, environment, education stop brother love from continuing. If we're going to break fellowship, let's break it over scriptural scruples. Let's break it over false doctrine, immorality, something we can put a finger on scripture. If you don't like anything else, but they're still doing right, let brotherly love continue. We've got room in our place for the banjo pickers as well as the harp players. We've got room in our place for those that talk of Socrates and Aristotle and Plato and Marcus Aurelius Antonius and Zoroaster and Confucius and Buddha and Mohammed, as well as those that talk about Uncle Remus and Bugs Bunny. Hallelujah. Now I'm talking about on a mental scale. Hallelujah. I had to whip that out real quick. But praise the Lord, let brotherly love continue. I love my brother if he preaches Acts 2.38 or Daniel 3.16. I love my brother if he preaches Genesis 49.10 as well as Malachi 3.6. Hallelujah! Let brotherly love continue!
I like that.
Be not forgetful. I almost deleted this. If you all didn't have your Bibles, I would have deleted this next verse. But that, you see, that's one of the bad things in my case. You see, you got the transcript right in front of you. Amen. And if I delete it, of course, I could act like, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. And I don't know whether you've caught on or sometimes I shift this thing in high gear. Amen. Because there's sensitive points that I don't feel like I should elaborate on at the time. And you know, you have to just kind of put it in overdrive and hit the passing gear and go on. But I can't now. All right. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. This is a wild, wild coincidence. Hallelujah. Because I didn't get this sermon up till this afternoon about 4:15. I finally got through in prayer. It took me almost an hour before I finally got through and found out what God wanted tonight. All right, here it is. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, every stranger... All right, get your laugh up. Come on. Hallelujah. Every stranger that knocks on your door may not be an angel. Now, I'll tell you one way you can tell. If he's smoking, he's not an angel. If he's got a deck of cards, he's not an angel. If he's spitting tobacco, chewing snuff, he's not an angel. Amen. If he's hustling you for a buck to go to some card party or some horse race, he's not an angel. But I will not do violence to the text. I do believe it has to say what it means. Right. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, right, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Right. And if there is an angel here tonight, would you wave your hand? I tell you what, I've never seen an angel. And that's right, I never have. You may have. I never had the privilege of seeing an angel. If there was one, identify yourself. Oh, we'd really be proud to have you tonight. Amen. That's right. I'm not really playing fun with you. Amen. I believe the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear Him. But if you're here as an angel, identify yourself. Hallelujah. Everybody said amen. Now, I know there's a bunch of us fallen angels, but I'm talking about the real McCoy. Okay. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Now, we may be well and whole, but let's don't forget those that might be sick.
That's right.
You might be faring sumptuously and thank God for all the blessings and material things God's placed on you.
Right.
But don't forget the brother that's without.
That's right.
Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. That's hard to do.
That's right.
I mean, when you got a full stomach and things are going downhill real good for you, that is to say, everything's going smooth. It's hard to project yourself in the mind and heart of a brother that's scratching and pulling to just barely get by.
Right.
But if we could just project ourselves tonight to remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. And when you pray over those sauerkraut and wieners, or over that mashed potatoes and steak and gravy, or when you pray over all that good food you have, remember those that may not be quite so fortunate, that are bound. Amen. Remember those that are in bonds as bound with them. I know you can't sympathize with someone that's lost a mother or a father, a husband or wife, until you've been there. I really understand that. But we need to try our best, right? And we don't need to make curt remarks and say, well, good enough for them. Make their bed hard. Let them lay on it. But if it happens to our children or our family, it becomes a different story. And oh, God, help us to have the same sympathetic understanding for anybody's children or anybody under such unfortunate circumstances. Amen! And them would suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. I don't think if you're sick, you've sinned. I don't think if someone comes down with a dire disease, it means they failed God. People that preach that ought to examine themselves. Amen. That's not true. Because the Bible said, them would suffer adversity as being yourselves in a body. Paul left a man sick at Trophimus. Amen. There's plenty of cases where men and people have suffered. But oh God, let's don't antagonize the issue and make curt remarks and snide remarks. Well, good enough for them or what have you. Put yourself in their place. What would you think? How would you feel? And as the Indian said, don't criticize a man till you walked a mile in his moccasins. And oh God, Help us not to complain that we have no shoes till we meet the man that has no feet, and then we can complain. Oh, God, help us to remember those that are suffering. That's hard to put across because we're not suffering, maybe. But God, help me to remember them that are without. Amen? Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Jesus sanctified marriage, I believe, by attending the marriage in Cana of Galilee. Here he links marriage with is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. So he links a physical living together with marriage. I don't think people ought to live together as man and wife without marriage. I think it's a sin. I think it's wrong and unscriptural. Come on, folks. And I think the church ought to have the standard that we will not condone marriages of men with men and women with women. But it's a marriage that God sanctioned with Adam and Eve, male and female, put together. Now, I'm appealing to you strictly from a strict scriptural point, not emotion. Praise the Lord. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. The marriage bed is hallowed. It's sanctified. Let's don't drag it in the muck by sanctioning and condoning people living together without marriage. Amen. 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 Some leading preachers of our day have said perhaps it would be good for people to have a marriage contract, live together 5 years, and then if it didn't work out, they could tear up the contract and go their separate ways. Or trial marriages. This is all anti-scripture. God's not for this. You break down the marriage, you broke down the home, and you break down the home, you broke down the fiber of society, and we'll have nothing on our hands but a gang of cutthroats and thieves of morality and corruptibleness. I say marriage is honorable in all. And the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Oh, that's hard to do. See a new car, I'd like to have it. New pair of hose, I'd like to have it. New pair of shoes, new shirt, new tie, new dress, I'd like to have it. Hello? That's hard to do. I'm not gonna lie to you. That's hard to do. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Because we all desire the finer things of life. Now, would you wear a gingham dress to church? Would you come to church with thongs or barefooted? Would you like to do that? No, you want to dress nice, and don't misunderstand me. I believe if you can afford it, you should dress as well as you can afford in modest apparel and not costly array. Now, I think costly array is costly array whether you're a millionaire or you got just $50 to your name. Amen. Costly array is costly array. It's not relative to your dollar status in life. If you got $10, a $100 suit may be really costly array. And you got $1 million, it's nothing. No, costly array is costly array in the subjective sense. It just is costly. That's where it's at, not relative to your money. I believe God wants us all to be together as brothers and sisters.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. And brother, that's hard to do. Look at me. That's hard to do. Be content with such things as you have. Don't look at me that way. That's hard to do. You know it is. For the Lord has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Hallelujah.
So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, Jesus thought to keep me aware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Rich
right.
People have found that out, and that money does not necessarily automatically bring happiness.
Right.
It's a peace of mind, a state of mind. Only the Holy Ghost can really give you happy. Now, so you can have just a sack of peanuts to your name and ride a stick horse to work and be happy. Or you can have 6 Cadillacs, $1 million in cash in the bank, and be the most unhappiest man or woman that ever lived.
Yeah.
It's a state of mind. And we don't have to have the finer things and many accumulation of things in life to be happy with. The more you got, the more time it takes to keep up with it. Well, let me just hurry. I've got to get out of here. These shoes are killing me. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For you have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man should do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you. Everybody say rule. Who has spoken unto you the word of God. Say word of God. So this is referring to secular or governmental officials. The rule is in the church or the word of God. Who has spoken unto you the word of God. The mayor, the councilman, the governor, the president. He's going to preach you the word of God. It's the man of God. It's your pastor. It's the bishop of your church. It's your overseer. It's the one God has put here to preach you the truth. Amen. Who has spoken unto you the word of God. Whose faith follow. Whose faith follow. He gets up and says, I believe God's going to help us build a new building. God's going to help us do this. God's going to help us do that. Don't sit back and dig your heels in and say, I don't know about that. Or fold your hand on your chest and say, I'll just wait and see. Whose faith follow? Whose faith follow? Well, as long as he stays in the Word of God, follow his faith. Considering the end of their conversation. In eternity, a lot of us are going to be indebted to a lot of preachers that are dead and gone. That has showed us the light in a darkened night. Come on now. That has given us kernels of truth that has made very strong impressions on our lives. They're dead and gone. But we consider the end of their conversation. I thank God for the man of God that preached the message. I thank God for the Father and the Lord. I thank God for the one that showed me the way. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Oh, we're so curious. Something new comes to town. Somebody preaching Jesus Christ is an old gray mare. He'd get a crowd. Somebody come along with a new fandangled impression. Like someone said, he digs up some plates of gold and an angel visited him and told him to add something here, there, yonder. People have believed in that. When the Bible plainly says, for instance, in Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add not thou unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Amen. And yet people will believe such garbage as adding things that are not in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, it's not of faith. If it's not of faith, it's not of God. And if it's not of God, it won't stand. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. As far as I'm concerned, Trinity is a strange doctrine. Two-ness is a strange doctrine. Spiritual communion is a strange doctrine. Spiritual foot washing is a strange doctrine. Not paying your tithes to the church you go to the man of God, your pastor, is a strange doctrine. Whoopee! Brother, let me tell you, don't be carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. For the bodies, we have an altar which whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us therefore go forth unto him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Without the camp. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go forth unto him. Right. Oh, we want him to come to us. Amen. You know, lots of times that's the way we are. You come to me. You come. We got to go to him. Let's go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. I'm glad to be called in Jesus' name. Ridiculed. I'm thankful I'm Jesus' name. I'm proud to carry any reproach of the name of Jesus. I'm not Trinity. I'm proud to tell you that tonight. I don't believe in never die doctrine. I don't believe in unconditional eternal security. I don't believe that hell's a myth. I don't believe that heaven's an unreality. I'm proud to tell you. Laugh at me. Scoff at me. Mock at me. I'm glad to bear the reproach of Jesus Christ. I don't take a tuckhead. I go to a one God, Jesus name, Holy Ghost, tongue talking catch. I'm not ashamed of it. You ought not to be ashamed. Hallelujah. Don't let these big churches power you down and intimidate you. Amen. And make you feel like you're second rate or second class. You've got the best thing God's got for this generation. Hallelujah. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
Hallelujah.
But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you. Here again, verse 17 and also verse 7. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Everybody say submit yourselves.
Amen.
That's hard to do. Now, don't look at me, tell me it isn't. You got a nature, you got a will, you got a mind all your own. That's hard to do. But you've got to do it if you're going to be saved. You've got to have somebody over you. You've got to have somebody in the fear of God that will preach you the truth. Submit yourselves. You may not always agree. You may not always think it's the right way. But the boss is the boss. The head is the head. And he's got to have authority somewhere. A preacher with no authority, a preacher with no backbone, he can't pastor a church. He's a figurehead. A soft soap. A polished apple. Something pretty to look at. I'm about to say, come get me, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Obey them that have the rule. Some of you that won't obey your pastor would beat your kids half to death for talking back to you. And yet you come to church and jaw. And bicker, and poke fun, and ridicule, and scoff.
I didn't say that.
Listen, folks, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself.
That's the word of God.
It's not God's plan for a trustee board or an elder board or a deacon board to run the pastor. Give your pastor some liberty. Let him preach the word. Let him preach the word. Quit hamstringing him. It won't hurt to say amen. You won't break your jawbones. Come on. You may have to say it in self-defense. Yeah, that's right. Obey them and have the rule over you and submit yourselves. I know of a church in Kentucky, and Kentucky's a beautiful state. And they wanted to buy. Now, I heard this as a joke, but this also literally happened. They wanted to buy a beautiful light for the foyer. We call it a chandelier. And the pastor, he had to bring it to the congregation. And everybody was for it but one man. He got up and said, I'm against it. I'm against buying this chandelier. I'm against it for three reasons. One reason is we can't afford it. Just flat can't afford it. Second reason I'm against it is I can't spell that word. And the third reason, and the best, is that nobody around here can play it nohow. Didn't even know what he was talking about. It's kind of like another church in Kentucky I know of. The pastor was a little bit discouraged with the problems that had been arising. And he was talking to the janitor one day and said, well, he called his name. He said, I don't know. I think I'm going to resign. They say a new broom sweeps clean. I think I'm just going to resign, give another man a chance here. And the old janitor that had more wisdom than perhaps the pastor gave him credit for looked at his pastor and said, well, pastor, that's right. A new broom does sweep clean, but don't forget, the old broom knows where the dirt's at. And that's the reason some people can't shout when the pastor's there. He knows how they're living. You folks don't know how blessed you are. He said, this revival had went on, not already, but it was getting signals from another world on the book of Peter and the book of James and the book of Jude and the 23rd chapter of Matthew. It was coming down the Milky Way strong as could be. You better be glad. Hallelujah. That's the truth. But you get in some of them things. There's more than tiptoeing through the tulips. There's more than a hallelujah and a zippity-doo-dah. There's more than a speaking in tongues. It'll get down where you're living. It'll examine your spirit. It'll examine your motive. It'll examine why you're in the church. It'll turn you upside down and round side upwards. My God, search me tonight. Hallelujah. Submit yourselves. Submit yourselves. Submit yourselves.
Glory to God.
For they watch for your souls. You may be a shrewd businessman, but that don't give you the expertise to watch for your soul. You may know how to play the stock market, but that don't mean you know how to watch for your soul. I had a fellow tell me one time, he jumped up and said, I don't need a preacher. I don't need a pastor. I thought, whoa. A bunch of the men standing around listening to him. I said, I got to nail this bird right now. So I put this scripture on him. He said, I can sit home on my radio. Yeah, I can sit home and listen to good sermons. I don't have to come to church. But I got him this scripture out. I said, wait a minute, brother. I got something I want to tell you. The Bible said, obey them, have the rule rule of you, submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Some of us can't see the trees for the forest. Some of us are so involved with problems we can't see the problems. It takes someone with an objective nature, someone that loves God impartially, that will stand off and in the fear of God analyze you and your heart, motive, and mind, and say, God, give me a message for my church. God, give me a message for the spirits that are in my church. God, give me a message for the people of my church, young and old. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You need a watchman, a watchman, a watchman. People want a baker, they want a banker, they want a janitor, they want a lawnmower, they want somebody to go fishing with them, someone to pal with them, someone to joke with them, someone to laugh with them, but they don't want a watchman. God, give us some watchmen. If I was wrong, I'd want my pastor to talk to me. If I wasn't doing right, I'd want him to straighten me out. Oh, God. Well, I'll have to. My, it's a truth in it. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account. You see, there's restraint there too. You just can't get up and blow off. You've got to have scriptural foundation. Now, I'm going to say something here. Listen to me carefully because I don't want to be misunderstood. I believe the pastor has inalienable, God-given, undeniable, unalterable, apostolic prerequisite and right to be the head of his church. Answerable to God and to the people in morals, perhaps. But listen to this. Acts 17:11. Carefully listen. Paul said to some people in Thessalonica, he said, people comparing him with people in Thessalonica, he said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Listen carefully. And searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, you don't have to take any preacher's word for any doctrine. You've got a right to say, give me Bible.
Amen.
You've got a right to say, show me scripture. But if you've been shown scripture and you've been given Bible, you've got no right then to criticize. We don't believe like the Catholics did in the Middle Ages to chain the Bible to the pulpit and keep the people blind and ignorant and only the priests to know. You've got a right to the Word of God. You've got a right to examine the Word of God. You've got a right to ask any questions, amen, of a serious nature in the Word of God. Amen, everybody. Amen, everybody. Jump up and shout. Hallelujah. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. I don't know why I'm on this. I should have been closed. I should have been closed. I really should have. But every time I preach this, I think of something. And it's been a long time since I preached these two chapters. A long, long time. This isn't something I preach every revival. It's been a long time since I preached this. Listen to me. It said, they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. If your pastor has to pastor you and you cause him grief, you're going to answer to God for that. If he pastors you with joy, brother, that's good. But if he pastors you with grief, it's unprofitable for you. You can't always walk over the influence and the knowledge and the advice of a man of God and not suffer consequences. In the fear of God, in the fear of God, without no malice and rancor toward any, I know of a man and wife tonight that's in eternity. That wouldn't do what I humbly asked them to do. I believe with all my heart they would have never been killed because they wouldn't have been on the road they would have been on and going the place they would have been going. But they wouldn't obey because of some frivolous, insignificant, trivial little matter. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
You better think, friend. This isn't a playhouse. This isn't a party. This is where heaven meets earth. This is where we get ready for eternity. Oh, God. And if I'm not ready, I want to get ready. Would you raise your hands and raise your hands and praise the Lord?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Pray for us. We trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And all the people said, let's stand. Raise your hands and worship God tonight. Oh God, could I ask you to keep your hands raised just for a few moments? Could I ask you just to keep them raised for a few moments in praise and worship to God? Has the Word of God snapped your picture tonight? Oh God. Oh God. Has the Word of God touched your heart? Hila Mayakasa. With every head bowed, how many will raise their hand and say, preacher, I saw myself in the Word of God tonight. And I didn't like what I saw some of the time. I didn't like what I saw. And I want to do better. I want to do better. Raise your hand tonight. Be honest now. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Has the Word of God touched you today? Don't be afraid to acknowledge it to God. Oh, God.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh, God. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy word to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Let's sing it. Would it be asking too much? Please hear me tonight as you sing this beautiful old song. To me. But I long to rise. Could I ask you tonight? Everyone here tonight. That feels that God has talked to you, and you know you need a closer walk with God. Could I ask you to come and stand at this altar?